Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So 30 years in the business. I know, like, everybody, I feel like, and I know him very well. I've never worked with you, Brian Hanley. You're in for Hoodie. Good morning. How are you?
Is that even possible? I mean, we did TV together.
Yeah, we did. We did. You were on Sports Talk Live with me.
Yeah, whenever Herb Gould couldn't make it, you finally got to my number.
No, you filled in for Phil Hirsch. Get it right.
I wore my trench coat too.
Exactly.
Phil Hirsch. Wow, he was something.
But we were the press always, conference. We were always
the press conference. The press conference didn't start till.
Yeah, till Phil Hirsch showed up. We were rivals. You were at one station. I was at wherever I was at another. But we always both had a love of horse racing. We almost invested with Eddie Olczyk on a horse together.
Yeah. And if I had a nickel for every time there was a rumor you were coming over to my place, I could have retired.
Yeah, so. It was like a regular thing.
Yeah.
So, but it all works out. That's why we're here.
It's serendipity.
It's serendipity, 100%. So the NBA trade deadline is tomorrow, and rumors are that the Bulls would be interested in Lonzo Ball. I don't really understand that, unless you're getting him for next to nothing. But to give up, you know, an asset, I don't understand why you would do that. He's going to be a restricted free agent this summer, which means he's going to want to get paid and paid big. This is his third team in 4 years if he comes to the Bulls.
Yeah, well, first of all, don't you have to start with the premise, at least I do, that you have to have full faith in the new front office of the Chicago Bulls,
yes.
Right? If you don't believe they're smart guys, or at least smarter guys, than, you know, Gar in particular and his staff, then you really got no hope, right? It doesn't matter what Lonzo Ball's coming. So I have to give them some time, some room. I have to be patient. But I said this yesterday when I was working with Connor McKnight, filling in for Waddle and Sylvie. And I said with Fred Huebner a few weeks ago on our Saturday show, the whole storyline a couple weeks ago, Cap, that these 2 weeks before tomorrow's trade deadline would be the determinant factor on which direction the Bulls were going to go. I mean, that was the most insane thing. That was like old regime stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next 7 or 8 games will determine what our future is. No, you don't have a playoff team here. Yeah, you might have a team that gets in a play-in game and expanded playoffs, but they have a losing record. And more importantly, they have pretty much a winless record against teams above 500. So to tell me 7 or 8 games was going to chart your course for the future, you know, I go back to still I have to have full faith. But that was the storyline being peddled, and I was just shaking my head. This can't be true. This can't be accurate.
Well, I keep hearing people, and, you know, C-Red Fred's a great fan of our station. He's called in. He's a diehard Bulls fan. And got to get to the playoffs. No, you don't. Because what are you going to the playoffs for? To get 4 games of experience, to get your ass kicked by whoever it is, Philly, Brooklyn, the Bucks, whichever one emerges at the top. For what reason do I want that? I would rather get in the lottery, hopefully get lucky and pick like they did last year in the top 5 again, and keep adding talent. They were left a really bad hand here.
Well, in the abstract, I do believe any playoff experience is good experience for young guys. You know, and obviously you have a roster full of it with the Bulls, but I'm with you. I mean, I remember covering the Blackhawks, and for 27 consecutive years, they made the playoffs. Didn't win a Stanley Cup, didn't really come close. With Edmonton and the great one, they came close, but were never going to overcome that hurdle. But that was a badge of honor over the front office then. Bob Pulford, I mean, that was sacrosanct. And for old man Bill Wirtz, It was all about getting a round or two of playoff money in the bank. So, you know, I always said to Pulley, I've never heard you say we want to win a Stanley Cup. You always just want to get in the playoffs. And Bob Murray, who was the assistant GM at the time, would tell you, you know, just when you were talking one-on-one, we're much closer to the bottom than the top, and we have to blow this whole thing up to get those high draft picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was being more realistic, but it was never going to happen unless, you know, while Bill Wirtz and Pulley were in charge. So I'm with you. You have to look at what really is important here. And it's you're in a rebuild. And to my mind, I'm not advocating trading Zach LaVine. I know how you feel about that. But good Lord, if someone called you and overwhelmed you with an offer, you have to listen to everything. That's where you are. I mean, I get building around Zach LaVine. But if you really want to accelerate the rebuild here, he's the guy who's going to bring you the most assets to get that done.
Yeah, it would have to really overwhelm me because right. I think he's like the number two or three guy on a really good team. Like if I told you I dropped him in on the Lakers and they've got LeBron and AD and him, that team's obviously a champion. If I drop him in on the Sixers and they've got Embiid, Simmons, and him, really freaking good. Here as the number one guy? No.
And nobody else.
Correct. When your number two best player is Thaddeus Young, you're just not good enough. So to limp in and get to the eighth spot or get in the play-in tournament, no. Waste. Now, well, go ahead.
If they trade Markkanen tomorrow, and you know that those reports surfaced yesterday, reports surfaced that they're listening, and they should be, because one, they couldn't come to a contract terms with him before the season started, so you know they're far apart. This was a very important year for Lowry because he had to stay healthy and he had to be much more consistent. I mean, look at his numbers, and if you just look at the snapshot of the numbers, the points are there, the shooting percentage is there. But you and I are watching Bulls games, and you know some nights are like the other night where he was, what, 1-for-10 before he, you know, with 10 minutes to go in the game, and he was benched. And so a former number 7 overall pick, if they pull the trigger on that trade, and maybe they're going to because they know they're not going to match whatever offer he gets as a restricted free agent in the summer, I think you'll be discouraged to see what you get in return. That's not to say other GMs aren't very interested in stealing the guy, because at 23 that they think, you know, he's been mishandled or just needs to get out of here. But no one's going to overwhelm you or even give you what you might think is market value for a guy who's still got a lot of years left.
Yeah, let me just put it to you this way. Here's the optimistic me, and that's how I choose to live my life. I'm the biggest optimist. The house is burning down. Oh, we'll be okay. But $52 million in cap space this summer. You get the dead weight of Otto Porter's contract off the books. I have, hopefully, a pick somewhere in the lottery this year. Next year, after using some of my cap space, I add another player in the first round, hopefully not in the lottery. I sign Zach LaVine with my what they call the bird rights, so I can go over the cap, but it doesn't take cap space. I sign a free agent this summer, a free agent next summer. I've added two number ones, and I kept Zach. Now, game on, let's go, as Pat Williams continues to develop. That's where
I'm at. Let me ask you this. When you talk about free agents, we've seen them be the bridesmaids, you know, with D. Wade, with LeBron, certainly. We got Carlos Boozer as a consolation prize. You overpaid him for what you got who yells when he grabs a rebound. Are the Bulls more attractive now than they have been for the last 15, 20, because of Billy Donovan, because of AK, because of Zach? We know how this league operates now, right? The players recruit each other, come play with me. I don't know if Zach has that cachet or if people or agents are going to sell their guys on, hey, it is a different regime, a different era over there. Because money being equal or close to being equal, I don't know how attractive the destination the Chicago Bulls are until they start winning something, or they start, you know, they draft, you know, Patrick Williams turns into a legit star. I just don't know that free agents are going to be knocking down your door to be part of this.
Just a few moments ago, this is Adrian Wojnarowski on KJZ on the pursuit of Lonzo Ball.
Well, listen, Lonzo Ball did not reach agreement with New Orleans on his rookie contract extension before the season. He'd be a restricted free agent after the year. And, you know, I think there's a sense on both sides that a new home would make sense for him. Chicago's a team to watch here. They need a point guard. They have, I think for Ball's side, you know, it's a place with some young talent, Zach LaVine, you know, a group in Chicago under Billy Donovan that you've seen grow this year in his first season as coach. You know, Philadelphia, I know, has reached out. They've been in the market for a point guard. I think Philly's more of a long shot for Lonzo Ball. But I do think that there's a pretty good chance he moves before Thursday's trade deadline. There have, again, you know, been talks with the Bulls. That's certainly going to be one to watch.
Okay. So here's my problem with Lonzo Ball. If you acquire him, that becomes his third team in 4 years. That, for me, is a red flag, A. B, he's gotten better shooting the ball. He's not a great shooter. He actually works hard at the defensive end. He is a good passer. He wants $25 million a year. The Lakers drafted him second overall, couldn't wait to move on. Now you're telling me that a Pelicans team in dire need of a point guard, in dire need of young, impactful talent, they're willing to move on and not pay him? Why are we?
What he wants and what the market's going to give him maybe are two different things. You know, Otto Porter's making $26 million. Only in the NBA cap can you talk about this kind of money, right? I mean,
right.
It's ridiculous. That said, I mean, is the Lauri Markkanen money earmarked to pay Lonzo Ball? And I don't think he's going to get $25 million because, as you said, three teams in 4 years. I mean, a lot of people are paying attention. You can ask for whatever. And then when he hits, if okay, you say, no, we're not going there, go out and get your best offer. We'll match it. He might not be happy about that, but it might be, you know, a little reality check for what he thinks, you know, he's going to, what he thinks he's worth and what the market's going to say he's worth.
Yeah, he's averaging 15 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and he's been better from 3. Over the past 21 games, he's shooting 42%. But again, if he's that good, unless New Orleans was getting a haul back, like, oh, my God, I can't believe we got whatever, why don't they want him?
Well, why? And the other question is, well, first of all, he'd be the best option for the Bulls, right? They don't have a – I mean, that's why the White experiment has been – they've tried to force-feed that to everybody, including White, and that's kind of screwed him up a little bit this season too. So you need a point guard, whether he's the short-term answer and just somebody you have to run the offense for the next couple of years. But do you believe Billy Donovan can unlock whatever potential is there? Again, you have to go back to who's developing, what is the front office looking at, and do you have faith in this new regime to make more right moves than wrong moves at this point?
All right, would you be ticked off if the Bulls trade Lowry for basically nothing, just get him off the roster by tomorrow's 2 p.m. deadline? Does Lonzo Ball to the Bulls excite you? 312-332-3776. We'll take your Bulls calls. Brian and I having some fun, and Twitch is brought to you this week by the Marquee Sports Network. Never miss a moment of Cubs baseball with Marquee Sports Network. Be right back.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So are you ticked off if the Bulls trade Lauri Markkanen for basically nothing? Does Lonzo Ball to the Chicago Bulls excite you? Where are you, C-Red Fred? He's all in. Got to get to the playoffs. Experience will be... Stop. We don't have enough talent. It's just
0-9 against 0-9 against winning teams in the last 4 weeks. I mean, help.
Yeah, and do you realize in that same span, the best team in the NBA, perhaps Utah, I think is 10-0.
That sounds about right.
Right.
Hey, at least the Bulls don't have a 20-game losing streak in their future, do they?
I hope
is
not.
How is that possible in the NBA that a team like Houston or any team can go 20 straight without a win when teams take nights off, teams sit guys? It's just, that's almost an impossibility, but they did break it, so.
there you have it.
Like Steven Silas, their head coach, he was rumored to be like on the very, very short list to come here. And then Billy Donovan announced he's leaving Oklahoma City. So Steven Silas has waited his whole life to be a head coach. And what do you think about going to Chicago with AK, who you've worked with in Denver, and Mark Eversley, who you know very well, and it's a full rebuild, so you got plenty of time. Yeah, I'm very interested. That'd be great. AK's my guy. Well, hold on a second. He just got a call. Billy Donovan's deciding to part ways with the Thunder. And AK, I was told, AK called Billy like hours after he announced this. And he said, hey, I need to meet with you. I'm driving back to Florida. That's where my family is. And give me a couple weeks and we can talk. Uh-uh. I don't have a couple weeks. You? When do you get there? Thursday night. I'll see you Friday morning. Oh, God. Okay. Showed up Friday. I love an executive that's got, you know, hey, man, that's the guy, and I got to get him. And they said he walked in. I was told he walked in. He sat down. They started talking philosophy, and AK said, okay, done. Five-year deal, $30 million. We good? Yep, we're good.
It's reminiscent of, Jed and Theo going down to get Joe Maddon.
Yep.
It's not reminiscent of Ryan Pace saying, I got to get Mitch Trubisky. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, I remember saying to her, I loved Ryan's conviction that night. And I remember saying to him, I think it's awesome to have a GM that has no regrets and says, that's the guy, I got to get him.
Yeah.
And if he was Patrick Mahomes, no one cares that you gave up 2/3 and a 1/4.
Not even a conversation.
No one cares.
Nope.
But I said to him, but you better be right. He's like, yep. Yeah, I better be right. And obviously,
and look,
he was.
There were probably 4 or 5 other GMs that were willing to take Trubisky wherever, not moving up to 2 necessarily because they weren't good. But, you know, thinking, but for the grace of God, go I, right? Thank God Ryan pulled the trigger because I would have been sitting there and taking the arrows now.
Yeah, someone told me who works with the Chiefs said when they heard the commissioner say, we have a trade. Chicago's moved up to number 2. They went, there goes our guy, thinking it was Pat Mahomes. They said when they said Trubisky, they're like, all right, we got life here. Because that was the guy. Mahomes is who they had targeted. Matt had said, generational talent. You got to get that guy.
Yeah.
So,
well, one
anyway,
team right, one team not so much.
Yeah, one has the Lombardi Trophy last year and another appearance this year. And the other one? Yeah.
Has special teams back together.
Yeah, exactly. It was a big day yesterday, Danny. We've got Patrick Scales, Pat O'Donnell, and Cairo Santos back together.
When your favorite football team is selling hope based on the special teams unit of the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper, you've got problems. Like the second I saw the email from the Bears that Cairo Santos was meeting the media, I thought to myself, where are we, Des Moines? Like, literally, yeah. do you think the Chiefs are sending out press releases? Hey, media, the kicker's
meeting. Harrison Butker is meeting the media.
Nobody cares.
No league is holding a Zoom conference call, right, to re-up. And it's great. The band's back together, as Cairo said. You get the long snapper. You get Patrick, the two Patricks. That's great. And you need him. I'm not demeaning what he's done and what he's meant to an offense that can't score touchdowns. So here come the field goal. But that said, on the list of important things to get done in an offseason, that'd be pretty far down. You know, start with the quarterback, offensive line. By the way, how are you going to replace Kyle Fuller and maybe Akeem Hicks? You know, can you do anything with Robert Quinn? Do you need someone other than Allen Robinson to catch the ball?
Yeah, it's a bad situation. Eddie on the north side wants to talk some Bulls. Hey, Eddie, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys, how you doing? But hey, with all this Bulls talks and everything, but it's just a sad thing in the NBA because it's the LeBron effect. Is like your partner was saying, you got players that are saying, come over here and play with me here. Come over here and play with me here. And I don't see the Bulls winning anything unless 3 superstars come to the Bulls and play. It's period. The NBA is a wreck. The college game is so much better watching. It's hard to watch the NBA now. It's the closest team that was to the Bulls in a regular organization is why I loved them. And this is pre-Durant, was the Curry, Green, and Thomas. They grew up with the organization. They had good coaching, good management, and they won a title that way. LeBron ruined the NBA, and I'm glad Deshaun Watson's not going to do that to the NFL, and either is the guy in Seattle. Because that's what the NBA is now. It's a laughing joke. And watch, even though LeBron's out, and I don't even know how he hooked up with that big, the big other guy there, and they come back from injury, they will be in it to the end, and they might win the title again. That's all I got to say. And if you don't think that way, then you're lying to yourself, because that's what the NBA is now. Luka Doncic will not win a title of how the NBA is set up now unless he gets another superstar.
Okay, but let me ask you a question, Eddie. Are you the same guy when Curt Flood became a free agent and it changed baseball? Go, this is awful. Now guys can go wherever they want. That's part of the league, man. Go wherever. If you can force your way out, God bless you.
Cap, but it's different. Don't you feel the different feel of the NBA now? Just all this stuff started happening. I mean, you got Harden hooking up with two other superstars. You got this team hooking up with three other. LeBron James never won a title until he hooked up with two other great superstars in Miami. Period.
Yeah, and again, and appreciate the call, Eddie. Brian, I don't have a problem with that. I don't. I don't have a problem with bat flips. Like, I've completely evolved on all. Like, okay, that's the new reality. So guess what? Develop Patrick Williams, keep developing Zach LaVine, and go get a freaking star that says, I want to join up with those guys.
You need three. I mean, we can all agree that. You need minimum three legit all-stars to win a championship in the NBA, right?
Yes.
And I will say, maybe we're talking about two different things. I'm all for free agency and player movement. You know, why not, right? Do you earn that? But I think to Eddie's point, I think the NBA is pretty much the only league right now where GMs literally tell agents, go find a deal for your guy and bring it back to me, and I'll tell you if we can do it or not. I mean, that where agents are actually putting packages together and making the trades that are officially signed off by the teams. And he referenced Deshaun Watson and, you know, being upset that he didn't get veto power or input and was told he was going to have, you know, input on the coach and the GM and all that. It is a slippery slope. I mean, back in the day, and maybe it was, you know, the Stone Age, it was the old saying, general managers, managers manage, coaches, and players play. And, you know, there was a delineation. And so it is a slippery slope when, if MJ didn't get that kind of input here, then who does, right? I mean,
right.
When you start allocating that kind of input and power, I don't know that it's necessarily good for the locker room. I don't know if it's necessarily good for the organization. I mean, if young quarterbacks were that in tune with the talent around the league and actually could, you know, but to actually say, no, I don't like that guy, try again. And there's, you know, 50, 60 other guys who would like to have input on who the next coach is going to be. I get the quarterback superstar and all that, but it is a slippery slope where you start, you know, I get stars are treated differently, but then there's that when you take it to another level.
All right. Mel Kiper went in on our Bears this morning. He took a little shot at them as he talked about a particular quarterback. We'll get into that. A little Deshaun Watson. It's all next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Rolling on the Cap Jay Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Don't forget to download the ESPN Chicago app. Get all of our podcasts. Ours are up as soon as the show is done. It's up there. JR and Jeff have it ready to roll. And then you can get the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, Danny's Armchair Nutritionist, all the rest of the shows. You can listen to the station crystal clear right through the app. It's all right there. And you can watch us on TV. twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago, brought to you by the Marquee Sports Network. In for Hoodie, who's on vacay, my guy Brian Hanley. And Mel Kiper, Brian, was on Get Up and was none too pleased that Carson Wentz was A, traded, but he had to find a way to sneak in a shot at the Bears. Take a listen.
You've made it very clear, abundantly clear on this program. You were not in favor of the Eagles trading Carson Wentz. I'm finally going to give you the opportunity to tell us why.
A ridiculously stupid move is the way to sum it up. And even dumber than that, where the Bears not giving up the 20th pick in a three or trying to get Carson Wentz. I think the Colts, a stroke of genius. Maybe it was just because of what other teams allowed to happen that they fell into Carson Wentz. And Frank Reich sitting there saying, boy, talk about an early Christmas present or a late Christmas present, whatever you want to talk about. That's what he got with Carson Wentz. That's unbelievable. Carson Wentz is a young man who is a proven MVP guy, who did things in 3 years that very few quarterbacks have done. So to me, with the injuries, they were catastrophic. Everybody has injuries. They don't all have catastrophic injuries to offensive linemen, too, before the season even begins. Receivers, tight ends, running back, nothing going on. And you're going to blame the quarterback and then send them packing for virtually nothing that equates to a quarterback with his skill set and what he's already accomplished at a young age. This was, again, one of the most ridiculously stupid moves probably in the history of the NFL, or one of the most ridiculously stupid moves. I mean, a lot of them. This was right up there near the top.
Okay, first, I was told that they did their homework. They broke down every throw of his career. They went back to the scouting reports that the Bears had on Carson Wentz in the draft, and then Matt made a call. He had his doubts, but he made a call to his friend Doug Peterson, who I was told him, run as fast as you can in the other direction. He will get your ass fired. Do not bring that guy in. And they never made an offer after doing all their homework.
God bless Mel. He didn't address all that stuff about kind of being a diva. And when things did go south, whether everything Mel said was accurate or not, it was never Carson's fault. At least, Carson never felt it was his fault, right?
Right.
And by the way, who won the Super Bowl? It wasn't Carson. It was Nick Foles.
Correct.
So can you sell the Bears Nation again that the Philly connection is going to work out because it didn't work out when you brought Nick Foles here? I mean, the fact that Carson Wentz came from this small school in North Dakota and then turned into some sort of diva, if you believe some of the stories coming out of Philly, is kind of disheartening, right? I mean, he still has talent, and he might still turn into a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. But I don't know that, if you do your due diligence and you get that right from the head coach, how do you bring him in and knowing that your job's hanging by a thread right now?
Exactly. So, Mel is the same guy who, remember the famous rant, I'm sure we've got it somewhere in the system, when Bill Tobin drafted Trev Alberts and Mel was mad that they didn't take, who was it, Danny Trent Dilfer or somebody like that. And Mel's like, who is that guy? Tobin's, who is Mel Kiper? What has he ever done? Has he ever blocked or played ever in his life? The answer's no. So,
Wait a second.
Didn't you just go off on Boeheim ripping a 5'2 Syracuse reporter?
You don't have to bring his height up. You could say, I'm not going to listen to a reporter. That's fine. When you go, he's 5'2 and he never played. I get it. You don't have to demean someone. You could disagree. We're all entitled to our opinions.
But you're saying, because Mel never played the game, he can't have a take?
Oh, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying what Bill Tobin said.
That's disingenuous because the front offices now are papered with guys who are, computer guys and advanced metric guys, and no one's saying that they're stupid or baseball stupid or football stupid. I mean, when you look at what Mel's done on this most recent mock draft, he's got Mac Jones at 15 now, right? Four of the top five picks are quarterbacks in his mock draft.
Correct.
Mac Jones is now sitting at 15 projected by Mel for New England. He's got the Bears going for the USC tackle. I mean, ostensibly he played tackle, right? And I think he also had 12 points against Kansas the other night.
Sister Jean had 12 points against Kansas.
All right. Why
do we have to get started on such a Brian, we've had such a nice day, and you had to go just a shot to the ribs early, huh?
Elijah Vera Tucker played left tackle for USC mostly, but a lot of draft scouts say he's more apt to be a left guard in the NFL. Can you draft a left guard?
No,
not at 20. You need the left tackle.
I'm not saying you can't take a guard there because Kyle Long was a good pick. David DeCastro was a good pick. No. Obviously, Quentin Nelson, 7th, was an amazing pick. they don't need a guard right now.
No, you need a tackle with an immobile quarterback in the Red Rifle, right? You need a left tackle, legit. And the Northwestern kid is now, his stock has climbed to the point where Mel's got him going, what, 13, Rashawn Slater going to.
That would be an amazing pick.
Yeah, my question is, does Ryan Pace have the wherewithal or the assets to jump a few spots to get Mac Jones? And, you know, jump, leapfrog the Patriots. Are you going to, if you're addressing the quarterback position, you draft down or trade down to get Kyle Trask, you know, late first round, early second round? You have to get a quarterback here somewhere.
I would think at some point. By the way, Kuiper's also the guy that said Jimmy Clausen was going to be a star.
Oh, boy. I covered it.
And again, I'm the guy that said I thought Trubisky was going to be good, so I'm an idiot. I get it. We all make mistakes. I like Mel. I think Mel does a really good job at breaking all these players down. My whole point is he's firing on the Bears and firing on the Eagles. He wasn't in those rooms. He didn't talk to Doug Peterson and get the breakdown of him as a person and a player.
Right.
So
intelligence. You talk to the coaching staff. You talk to other players if you can. You find out. It's like when NFL scouts used to go to campuses when they were allowed to before the pandemic. I mean, they would talk to the training staff. They would talk to the kids putting the Gatorade in the. They want to find out about the character of players that you're going to spend a first round pick on.
They would have every one of these teams has security departments, and they go and talk to normal students. High school teachers. What was he like as a person? They do the amount of homework they do is insane. Yeah. Private investigators. Exactly right. 312-332-3776. Let's go back to the phones. And Joe is in Hobart. Hey, Joe. What's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys. First things first, I do want to agree that I think the Bears should adjust left tackle. We need a franchise left tackle for the next 10 years. And then, Cap, I have to disagree with you. I feel like your first opinion on Mitch was that he was going to be good. He was good considering all that was around him. I mean, you know, when you argue with the head coach about the offense that you want to run and he doesn't let you, and you come out with a 29-21 record and then 74 total touchdowns, only 32 interceptions, I mean, that's pretty good considering all the situation that was given to him. So, yeah, that was just my take. And, again, you have to adjust the left tackle and then go from there. So have a great day, guys.
You too. Appreciate it. I've always, Brian, been the guy, take the best guy on the board, period. We got enough holes. You'll fill some need, but I'm hoping that if it's not a quarterback, it is a left tackle that's the best at them on their board.
Yeah, to me, it's either or. I mean, you're in this predicament right now, and either you're going to protect the quarterback you have in Dalton, you know, for a year or 2 years, whatever. Ultimately, if you're going to get a guy who's going to hold down the left tackle position for 6-7 years, you're going to, whether it's Ryan Pace or the next GM, you're going to finally hit on a young quarterback. He's going to need protection too. So, you know, don't reach for a quarterback, but really if Mac Jones is sitting there projected at 15, 16, 14, whatever it is, you might have to trade up and grab that guy if you believe that your general manager future is in the balance of your Ryan Pace.
No question about it. I also heard, I'm blocked by him, so I can't tell you, but that Biggs is saying they're going to take a wide receiver in round one. So who knows?
Well, when you see what they tried to get Galladay, to, you know, and what he ended up getting, you know, you need two of those too, by the way.
No question.
Allen Robinson's terrific, but you need somebody else to help him out.
Real quick, can we grab C-Red Fred, please? Hey, C-Red Fred. What's up, man?
Yeah, how are you, brother?
What's up, brother?
How you been, man? Good to talk to you and Brian.
You too.
Hey, I saw your tweet. Are you serious here that you want to go for the lottery? Because I just can't believe this consistent looking out into the horizon when today we're the ninth seed. We're in the playoffs, right, with the play-in game. Give me the argument why we should be in the lottery this year.
Because you don't have enough talent. Your second-best player is named Thaddeus Young. To get in the playoffs, to get your ass kicked, is an absolute non-starter for me.
Cap, you know as well as I do, Pat Will has unlimited potential. We have three question marks in Laurie, Wendell Carter Jr., and Kobe. And we have an all-star in Zach LaVine who's going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season. Now, you could keep on looking in the distance and get rid of his best friend and Thad Young, who's taught this team to win. We have five mind-blowing losses.
They've got 19 wins.
Oklahoma City, the Blazers, the Spurs, and Denver. But the fact is, we're in the ninth seed and we're 2.5 games out of the four spot. And you're telling me, oh, let's blow it up and go to the lottery? It's insanity. We have an opportunity for these guys to get the medal of the playoffs, the fire of the playoffs. That leads to growth. Why are we consistently looking out in the distance?
Because you don't have enough talent, period.
Yeah. Is Patrick Williams, do you feel great about his future?
Yes, yeah. I think he's going to be a really good player. He's 19.
Does it help him that we miss the playoffs and trade Thad Young, or does it help him more if he gets
I didn't say anything about trading Thad Young. Unless I get a potential lottery pick back, I'm not trading him unless I get a really good deal. But I think Brian and I, but on that, but do I don't care if they make the playoffs. The best thing for the franchise is to add more impact talent. They don't have a point guard. Kobe White was a bad draft pick. Wendell Carter.
Oh, God. He's 21 years old. He's 21 years old. He averaged 26 points over the last nine games of his rookie season. And we're already burying the kid? He's 21.
No, but you screwed him up. But you screwed him up by trying to make him a point guard. I mean, that
yes,
experiment
Brian,
is not
yes.
working.
You put him in a role he's not that does not optimize his talents. And we're
Amen.
All saying, oh, he's done. He's 21. Wendell Carter Jr. is 21. Why are these kids don't maximize at 21? You look at when's the prime of an NBA player? It's 25 to 29. Where are they going to be in 4 years? We're already saying they're done. Have we lost our collective mind?
Fred, you are going to have to make a decision on long-term contracts with guys like Markkanen, Carter, Kobe White very quickly. Are you paying all of them? And if they don't turn out, you're effed. That's
Kobe
just a fact.
And Wendell are on their rookie deal. We don't have to make a decision about them. You're 100% right on Lauri Markkanen. He's the guy we should be trading. But for us to say, oh, I want to be in the lottery again, it's just pure insanity.
All
We're
in.
A big market team. Let's go for it.
No, but
we're not that far
Red,
out
you,
of four.
Fred,
C-Red,
thanks, man.
Does it help you? Does it help a guy like Patrick Williams bet more to get a legitimate talent to play alongside him through the draft? I'm with a Cap here. There are three ways to acquire talent: trade, draft, and free agency.
Mm-hmm.
I still think you're going to be up against it again in free agency. It might be better, but I don't think the ghost of Jim Boylan and Gar Foreman have left you completely. So you don't have much to trade. I mean, Thad Young, Cap, I'd love it if you got a lottery pick. You might get a first-round pick, but it'll be conditional. I don't think you're going to get in the lottery with that. So I'm with you. You're much closer to the bottom. Just look. Than you are the top. They can't beat winning teams. They can't. They're 0-0 forever against plus 500 teams. So to me, I'd rather add another asset through a lottery pick and hope that this front office and AK and his staff know what they're looking at and actually hit a home run there, because that will accelerate getting to the playoffs and actually making noise in the playoffs than getting a play-in game and losing the first round.
Agreed. All right. Deep drive to left field by Castellanos. That's next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So, yesterday, Fernando Tatis Jr. was playing shortstop. Brian, what did he get? $17 billion for 100 years? That's
yeah,
a risk.
And yeah. I mean, he's basically the face of baseball right now, isn't he?
He's certainly one of them. He's all over commercials. Everyone's all excited about the Padres. They've spent a ton of money. And I'm just telling you, man, that guy's a hell of a player. Hard to believe that he was in the White Sox system at like age 16. Age 16.
I mean, yeah, when the whole bat flip controversy was going on, I'm like, he should be doing that on the south side of Chicago. because, you know, big game James wasn't exactly all that when you made that trade. But hey, it is what it is. And to your point, the Padres, when everyone else is sitting on their wallets and saying we don't have the money, they took advantage of the situation and said, hey, Dodgers, you want to feel a little heat? We're coming at you. We're going to do whatever we can to make this team a legit contender.
So, Danny, you were following this along.
So this is great, right? So Tatis got hurt yesterday. The team that his Padres were playing, the Cincinnati Reds. In the game, besides Tatis coming out with, luckily, the injury doesn't sound like anything too serious, Nick Castellanos hit a home run. Guess to where, guys? Left field. So Ben Higgins, who's a sportscaster of 10 News in San Diego, hit it out of the park when doing the highlights. Have a listen.
It happened in the top of the third inning of the Peoria Sports Complex in a ground ball by Jonathan India. Tatis reached to his right and threw the runner out in a close play at first base. That's when things got interesting, and not in a good way. Tatis started walking back toward the Padres dugout, even though there was only one out. He was met by manager Jace Tingler and a trainer and took himself out of the game. And there's a deep drive into left field by Castellanos, and that will be a home run, so that'll make it a 3-2 game. But back to Tatis, who was diagnosed with shoulder discomfort. It appears for now not to be a serious injury. And Tatis said he might have even stayed in had it been a regular season game.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Wow. I mean, I love Tom Brenneman. He's a friend of mine. He's a great dude. And he made a horrible mistake.
He was a great dude that game.
I mean, look.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
I know you're his friend. You don't have to defend him and say how great he is. Laugh. It's funny.
Oh, it is. I agree.
He deserves to be laughed at. Every time we play that sound, you get so uncomfortable because he's your friend, and you tell us what a great dude he is and how outstanding he is. We get it, Cap. You're his buddy. That's funny. And Tom Brenneman deserves it every time he gets it.
Brian, save me.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
To think that this guy down in San Diego just, you know, hey, this will work.
It was funny. I'll give that guy a lot of plaudits for being creative. It was funny.
And as a Cub fan, every time you hear Castellanos, I'm like, why isn't he still here?
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Yeah. Wow. I'll give that guy a lot of credit. What's that guy's name, Danny? Ben Higgins?
Ben Higgins of 10 News San Diego.
Was pretty funny.
Oh, 10 News. That's my favorite when I'm in San Diego.
Go F yourself, San Diego. Anyway.
Stay classy, Ben.
Yeah, stay classy, Ben. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You heard us right. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is next.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.